Universität Hamburg.
Well, the title is Perforations of Reality, the motif of the whole in the fantastic, contemporary fantastic, in brackets. And there is no doubt that the fantastic in Spain is in great shape nowadays. Authors like José María Merino, Juan José Millás, Cristina Fernández Cubas, and newer voices like Fernando Iwasaki, David Roas, and so on, have contributed to the renaissance of the genre after the 80s in Spain. This renaissance was encouraged by translations of the great masters of the 19th century that were only available or maybe commercialized much later in Spain, plus the emergence of publishing houses that are exclusively dedicated to the short story and to the fantastic and science fiction genre as well, like Minotauro, Valdemar, Salto de Página, Páginas de Espuma, and also through the positive re-evaluation of the genre through the influence of the Latin American masters such as Borges, Cortázar, and so on, plus the consolidation of critical perspectives on the fantastic in Spanish academia, for example, Roas, Erdal Jordan, Alarraqui, Campra, and Rice. Okay, so this is a bigger panorama. Nowadays, it is in great shape, but what I want to maybe precise is that my intention today is to cross national borders, as we were saying yesterday, and present my corpus as rather being a part of a larger frame, which is the postmodern fantastic, or the contemporary fantastic, if you want, okay? So we can focus better on the theme. The fantastic has been largely understood as a way to give voice to the primitive temporal anxieties of mankind. It seemed to me yesterday that there was a lot of talking about the passing of time, the decay of the body, a lot of emphasis on the time. And this inherent temporal dimension of the fantastic has often subordinated that of space, which is extremely important in structuring reality, everyday experience. If we understand this as a set of boundaries, spatial relations, zones, itineraries by which the individual can organize and make sense of what that surrounds him. Space has either been restricted to its function of a container of the plot, or if acknowledged as theme, often reduced in its independence with time, the classic formula of space-time transgressions, right? So my intention today is to contribute to the rather limited corpus of criticism that reclaims the essential spatial dimension of the genre. Let us not forget that it's based on the conception and transgression of a limit. The analysis is centered on the function of one of the most popular motifs in the history of the fantastic, the whole, which is understood here as a perforation that transgresses the pre-established spatial reference. Through a variety of texts belonging to the contemporary fantastic in Spain, I will develop four lines that explore different aspects of the holes in the fantastic. Also knows, I'm sorry if I disappoint you here, that is not my intention to explore the sexual or psychoanalytical connotations of holes, okay? So I prefer to focus on the function of the whole in the fantastic to unveil how it transmits the different conception of space that we have nowadays as an absolute category, well, as an abstract category, sorry, very distant to the Newtonian objective, solid, measurable category. And this, I think, is a key notion to interpret how the fantastic has evolved in our days now, okay? So let us start. Oh yeah, you can see the title there. Since its origins, the concert of the fantastic has been to give voice to that what the discourse of reason could not codify. The whole is an archetypical image of this process of codifying the inexplicable. It embodies the subversive essence of the fantastic, and in that it metaphorically attacks the rational discourse of reality, particularly important during the 18th and 19th century. The rise of the fantastic became a perforation of the rational frames of positivism. Particularly useful to understand the relevance of the whole in the history of the supernatural is Foucault's concept of heterotopia. In his essay of Other Spaces, he analyzes the way different civilizations have attempted to deal in spatial terms with the deviant by situating them in what he calls heterotopias, that are physical containers with or without clear geographical markers to place these deviants. For example, madmen, the mud in madhouses and the dead in cemeteries is another example he gives. If we extend this definition to how society deals with that, what their laws of reason could not codify, the whole becomes the heterotopia of the fantastic par excellence. Now, let me give you a couple of examples. In many ancient cosmologies, that what could not be scientifically explained was assigned a space both devoid of specific reference, below or beyond the visible confines of the territory, and at the same time a constituent part of it, a heterotopia, a metaphorical heterotopia. In many ancient models of the world, and there is one of the pre-Socratic Anaximanders, the stars were believed to be holes that pierced the sky. Huh? In his case, orifices that revealed the fire beyond what he could see, the sky surrounding the earth. Another very good example of this process is the Roman mundus, meaning world in Latin. In the Roman city, it was a circular trench excavated for ghosts, spirits, and other non-human creatures to be contained and to avoid them wandering around with the human beings. This receptacle of the supernatural, it's an actual physical hole on the ground, right? I wanted to find a picture, but I couldn't. I'm really sorry, so imagine this. As Rickward remarks, has an essential function in the Roman foundational ritual of territory, right? After various ceremonies, this hole was sealed with a stone, covered, and only after this, the city was named, the city was born. Now, what is very important is the process of taking possession of the ground by disassociating it from the frightening and from the unexplained. And the hole then becomes a space to locate, to delimit, to cover, and so really to control the supernatural. Three times a year, however, this mundus was ceremonially opened to reconcile the two worlds. These were considered days of chaos in which no economic activities could be carried. Certainly, as the Roman mundus shows, the function of the hole as a container of the supernatural is as important as its liminal status enabling the contact between the two worlds. As the anthropologist Van Gennep and later on Turner remark, entering into a different stage or confine implies a process of dissolution of identity wherein the individual is forced to abandon the previous beliefs and reference, its liminal image. For example, the story of Jonah and his struggle to overcome the whale illustrates this liminal property of holes. The empty dark space of the whale's belly has often been interpreted as a liminal moment of darkness, intermediate between two stages or modalities of existence, in that case the real world and the fights with the underworld. Inextricably related to liminality, the uncertain dimensions and contents of the hole make it a symbol of the abyss, too, as Johan has remarked. Just as the famous rabbit hole in Alice's Adventures in Wonderland, the fall is a symbolic projection of the transcendence from the known dimensions, from the known codes, etc. And from these examples, we can summarize very symbolic principles of the fantastic holes. Generally speaking, it is a way to give a physical form to that what could not be to that what is not empirically perceptive or rationalized. Paradoxically, it embodies a referential void. Okay, so I'm going to start now with the examples. The first aspect I want to explore is that of the whole as a contentious space, as a reduction of the space around it, as a microcosm, right? This principle transgresses the basic spatial relation of big and small. Durand gives further account of the symbolic and psychological process of this introducing the big within the small, in what he calls the archetype of the container and the contained, and concludes, which is very significant, that these images symbolize the inversion and, I would add, invalidation of the laws of logic. Jorge Luis Borges wrote in 1949 a text that very well synthesizes this principle. In the Aleph, a very well-known text, the narrator discovers in the basement a point in space containing all possible angles of the world. Each thing, he says, a mirror space, let us say, was infinite things, since I distinctly saw it from every angle of the universe. This sort of keyhole becomes a metaspace and a metatime, container of the world in a single absolute image. Although not contemporary, strictly speaking, I've chosen this text because I think it represents a particularly postmodern appreciation of reality and our spaces in reality. It is conceived as a space containing and hybridizing multiple languages, symbols, and identities. And this observation is supported by the fact that the Aleph has also been interpreted as a precursor of our newest spaces of communication, like the internet. A window in which the observer could have access to an unlimited and probably unmanageable amount of points of views and voices, a portal through which to connect with a multiplicity of layers of society. The theme of the whole, as a microcosm, is represented from a different angle in Fernando Iwasaki's La Cueva, The Cave. In his short tale, the narrator explains how one day he decides to explore the imaginary cave he makes with the bed sheets. When they play Imagine, they're playing, there's a space, and he decides to go in, but what happens is that he can never come back. What is particularly unsettling is how naturally he accepts this fantastic domain as his new reality, which echoes the conclusion of another story by José María Merino. The conclusion says, "This is a world like any other," says the note written by a character who falls into a well and never returns. Note the parallels there. Differing from the 19th century idea of reality as something objective with set points of reference, this text seems to suggest that there are as many realities as constructions of them, and present a vision of the everyday created, generated by the individual who constructs his reality artificially and subjectively in relation to the surrounding space he has access to. Now, the second aspect, this section examines the liminal properties of the whole as a potential frame onto the fantastic. And precisely this idea of potential is the central theme in The Blind House by Roas. The character becomes obsessed with the house he sees from the train in his regular journey to work, right? But the anxiety he sees this house, but there's a side he cannot see, and that makes him really anxious. And this anxiety increases when he realizes that, through his binoculars, that the ordinary orifices of the house, like windows and doors, are actually fake. They are painted on the surface. What might be behind those blind frames is what triggers the unbearable anguish in him. So what's interesting in this story is that the fantastic tension is, so to say, a psychological speculation that is concentrated upon the character's projection of the supernatural potential behind these blind frames, right? Also in an abandoned house, in José María Merino's The House with Two Portals, a group of children cross a door that leads them into a city. Now this city is just like their city, but just grayer, emptier, and darker. Crossing this hole reveals another perspective to the reality they inhabit. It's a vision that will haunt them to their adults. And this is the quote, "And still now, when I open..." This is the end of the story, sorry. "And still now, when I open the door of my house and go on the street, I am often afraid of finding myself in that immobile city, degraded and infinitely sad, that accompanies this other one like an invisible shadow." It's this vision that will haunt them forever. This painful confrontation is also with a world of different physical laws is also the core theme of Cristina Fernández Cubas' El Ángulo del Horror. The narrator discovers an angle, so sort of invisible keyhole in space, through which the world is presented to him in its most horrendous properties. That's the basic plot. It's really powerful, I think. What is very significant in these three examples is that the whole, in these cases, is not a classic threshold onto the supernatural. Rather, they evoke or suggest the possibility of a different perception to that what is known. And this mere different appreciation is what suffices to trigger this feeling of uncertainty. And I think this is very clear if we... I'm going to borrow Ro's example here, Ro's exercise. I'm going to read this quote, the very last one, and if in your minds you substitute the word house for the word reality, I think it becomes very clear. "It was this house where you and me are at the moment, and nevertheless there was something strange in it. I was watching it from an unusual angle of vision," right? Third, from the uncanny feeling provoked by a different perception of the known, we will move towards the equally uncanny feeling of a void or a gap that is a missing part of a supposedly coherent structure. In this respect, Cristina Fernández Cubas provides one of the most interesting texts, which has been highly influential in the Spanish contemporary panorama, Mi Hermana Elba. In here, the narrator finds her old diary where she had described her childhood together with her sister Elba. In their boarding school years ago, they had found some type of black holes in this boarding school that made them invisible. By accessing these holes, they enter to forbidden areas. They transgress the limits of the space possible to them, allowed to them. Much related to the Bachelardian idea of the corner as the space of intimacy, these hideouts from external reality are places where the girls develop their friendship and feel at ease and freed from the rigid rules imposed at the convent and the convent. But what's particularly interesting and what scholars have ignored so far is that the motif of the hole is extended from being a perforation of physical space, of these void corners, right, to the silences of the text itself. The diary is the discursive space through which the narrative voice and the reader as well are confronted with the events of the past. But the narrator's attitude towards this act of remembering is key to understand this. She does not intervene, clarify, judge, or rationalize what happened. The existence of these fantastic holes and the subsequent mysterious events, like Elba's death, are simply left unexplained. These holes in the text embody the conflict presented in the act of remembering and reconstructing the past, as if in our mind there were a quantity of dead angles that hide some essential clues to reconstruct memories. 5 minutes. Okay. Oh, yeah, sorry. Well, I was timing it, actually. I think we started a bit late. It doesn't matter. So I'll go to the next one and then the conclusions. To finalize, I would like to briefly comment on this inherent vertigo of holes, also related to liminality. That is because open cavities are interlinked with the danger of falling. And Duhal extensively commented on this, so I'm going to skip this. Interesting is how, in a variety of texts I've come across, this imminent sense of never-ending fall provoked by a cavity is inverted from its vertical axis to its horizontal one. It becomes some sort of horizontal vertigo, which is a term that has been used by sociologists, for example, Ford, referring to LA, to refer to the sense of dislocation provoked by the vast extension of certain modern spaces. And this is one of the stories I've been working with. I'm not going to read the quotes if we're tight with time. You can do it yourself when I write the paper then, when I present it, or in the presentation. So to come to the conclusions, in the history of the fantastic, the whole is a heterotopia of the unknown, in that it contains that what society cannot codify according to the reference and laws of logic. This study has shown how the basic symbolic lines of this motif are present and have mutated in a contemporary context, and most importantly, the different ways in that man interacts nowadays with the reality surrounding him, which necessarily has an impact in the new constructions of the contemporary fantastic, right? So let us recap the four models. Inverting with their relationship big and small creates microcosms that present the holes as container of multiple realities that each individually, subjectively constructs according to the boundaries available to them. The whole as a frame of potentialities concentrates on the perception of the existence of an alternate order, or point of view to the known. At a language level, the gap represents a lack of some information necessary to reconstruct a logical discourse. And in the presented text, it also makes reference to the porous foundation and legitimation of memory and identity. And finally, the vertigo of falling into a non-codified realm speaks for the dissolution of spatial reference that make obvious the subject's inability to perform what Jameson calls cognitive mapping, that is, to mentally represent and locate themselves in the global postmodern context. And last comment, perhaps what these texts have in common is that they show an awareness of the whole not only being an archetypical structure of the fantastic, but it also being an integral part of the real. In other words, as Cristina Fernández Cubas, whom I just referred to before, expresses, the reveal, a notion of contemporary reality being nothing else but a path full of black holes. Thank you very much.